Hey, you guys. Welcome back to Tomes of Terror, doing another book review as we do on this little series. So, Jeremy Ray. This is an author I actually had not encountered before, and I kind of went and read his bio, and he's actually like found some success, mainly I feel like as a playwright, and he's won some awards, I think, for his screenplays and stuff as well. But according to him, his first love is doing kind of short prose, short fiction. Now, he's not exclusively a horror writer, because he likes to kind of hop genres, which is fine. However, his 2021 novella, Petrified Women, which is what we're talking about today, is undoubtedly a horror story, and it really does pack a hell of a wallop into its very, very brief 92 pages. So in this, we're following a young woman named Harley. Now, up to this point in her life, she's had some really unfortunate luck with men. All of her boyfriends, like all of her prior boyfriends, have sucked in one way or another and never in the fun way. And one of them, matter of fact, Christopher, even sexually assaulted her. And this is an event that still, there's a lot of lingering trauma surrounding it. I don't think it ever specifies like how long ago it was, but I'm assuming it was fairly recent. One of the main things too is that not only was it like really bad when it happened, but she's kind of traumatized by the fact that she froze up and she didn't do anything to stop it, or she didn't do enough to stop it. So she feels like it was like her fault. Very, very common for survivors of sexual assault. And I kind of feel like this really like heartbreaking self-doubt that this character is constantly feeling, and this fervent wish that she has to like rewrite history, rewrite the past so it came out differently, is really, really excellently conveyed in the story. And it gives like a real depth to Harley's character. And when you're reading it, you really feel kind of like an immediate empathy with her, like because of her, the way that her thoughts process about this thing that happened to her in the past. But in spite of all that, she's still convinced that her current boyfriend, Aiden, is different. He's just really, really sweet. He's really supportive. And he's nothing at all like those other losers that she's dated up to this point. Now, Harley's best friend is a psychotherapist named Shelley, and Shelley does not like Aiden at all, seeing nothing but red flags. But Harley is evidently so desperate to like pick a keeper this time. Maybe I kind of feel like she's trying to prove to herself that she's not irreparably broken. Like it's like, hey, I can pick a good one. You know what I mean? That she's just so desperate to do that, that she pretty much downplays or sugarcoats all of his odd behavior. Now, some of this odd behavior revolves around his artwork. There's nothing odd about being an artist, of course, but Aiden's sculptures are a little bit strange. He carves these very realistic life-size sculptures of women out of wood, and all of the women are kind of inevitably portrayed in various poses, usually like sadness or distress of some kind or supplication, something like that. And at one point, like Harley's like, why don't you ever sculpt like a woman that looks happy or powerful or something like that? And he's like, oh, well, because most of the buyers are men and this is what they want. So Harley actually kind of thought they were creepy at first, like when her and Aiden first started dating, but she kind of soon developed an affinity with them and calls them by name and talks to them when she goes over to his place as if they're alive. And he even like gave her one of them, which is called Dolores. Like it still like stays in his apartment, but she like talks to it when she's over there, like as though it's a real woman. Now on its own, obviously the weird art wouldn't amount to much, but the much more alarming aspect of Aiden's character is his love of pulling really elaborate and sometimes actually really cruel pranks on Harley. And he said it's implied that he's pulled them on his previous girlfriends as well. And these aren't just like your run-of-the-mill, hey, jump out and say boo kind of pranks either. These are like really like complicated fucking, I don't know, they're like a big thing. Examples of them include like tampering with a test to make Harley think she's pregnant, paying a friend to dress up like Bigfoot, like, and they're on a camping trip and he like Bigfoot like hauls Harley out of the tent like he's gonna eat her, faking an altercation with a waiter, like, and the waiter supposedly stabs Aiden to death. It's pranks like that, you know what I mean? It's like Jackass level and beyond. These pranks as they probably would in real life, cause Harley like a great deal of anxiety and sometimes trigger like PTSD flashbacks to her prior rape. But because Aiden is so perfect otherwise, she kind of just assures herself that, well, this is just the way that he expresses affection. And she even tries to get into the act herself, like attempting some pranks of her own, like to get back at him. And she tells Shelley that pulling these very vicious jokes on one another, that's simply their love language. That's how they like express, you know what I mean? So you can kind of see like how far gone she is, like how much she's trying to convince herself that this guy is okay. So the entirety of the story, in fact, and as I said, it's quite short, it centers on Harley trying to stage kind of like the mother of all pranks on Aiden. They even have like a competition, like she always loses because her pranks are kind of lame, or he figures them out beforehand because he's kind of like a master at this. So they have like a list of like which ones were the scariest, like a ranking on the refrigerator. So she wants to, you know, do the mother of all pranks like against him and like get back at him finally and do like a really, really good one that gets him good. Now it's his birthday, so that's another reason for her to do it. So, unbeknownst to him, she actually swiped his apartment key and made a copy of it and then returned it to him, like, without him knowing about it. So, while he's out on his birthday, she lets herself into his apartment and she's going to, like, dress up as a prowler. Like, she's got, like, you know, all the black clothes and she's got, like, fake muscles underneath. And it's like she's got pantyhose, like, to put over her face so he doesn't, like, recognize her. And, like, even shoes with, like, lifts in them so she looks like a big dude. So, yeah, so she's going to dress up as a prowler and pop out of his bedroom closet, like, with a terrifying roar and, like, scare the shit out of him. And she even brought, like, balloons and, like, an ice cream cake and stuff like that. So after this big scare, she's going to be like, hey, it's just me. And then they're going to, like, have a little party or whatever. So that's what she's planned. Now, the first part of this scheme goes pretty well, and Harley gets into the apartment just fine. She gets into the closet, and she's in there kind of, like, waiting impatiently for Aiden's arrival. But, as you might imagine, things don't turn out quite the way she expected them to. Because Aiden actually gets home, but he isn't alone, and Harley ends up seeing a completely different side of him than the one that she's used to. So, the rest of the story essentially plays out kind of like a cat and mouse game, kind of. And Aiden's previous history of doing these elaborate pranks come into play, as neither Harley nor the person reading the story is entirely sure what's real and what's not. So it's almost kind of like the book is like gaslighting you the way that Harley got gaslighted. Now, just a heads up, if you're bothered by stories about sexual assault, there is actually like a warning at the beginning of the novella. But as the author is apparently also a sexual assault survivor, the descriptions in the book are actually really tastefully done. I thought very insightful, actually, like the way, you know, people think about their trauma, like afterward, and very, very sensitively portrayed. It's not all that graphic, but if something like that is going to upset you, then just be warned that there is something like that in here. So this was a really, really great, like, impactful story. I think it was, like, really good, partially because it was so short that it had so much impact. It's actually structured kind of like a really, really good episode of, like, a real suspenseful, like, thriller-type TV show, because it has, like, a real limited scope. Like, pretty much the whole thing takes place entirely, like, in Aiden's apartment, more or less. Like, there's other things going on outside, too, but, and it only has, like, really a handful of characters. So it has, like, this real intimacy to it. And I also really liked that you had this real persistent doubt about the reality of the events as they were unfolding. So that really increased, like, the anxiety because, like I said, the main character, Harley, who's, it's not in the first person, but it's kind of like her, from her point of view, like inside her head, and she's never sure, like, if what she's seeing is like real or fake, and then you're not really sure either, and that like really ups the tension. It starts out as more of a thriller, as I mentioned, as Harley's kind of like waiting in the closet and starts remembering back to like the escalating pranks that Aiden has pulled on her. But then when Aiden comes home, it kind of like hits the gas and goes speeding into like full on horror territory. So yeah, it's really, really well paced, and because it's really short, it can kind of be read in just one real breathless sitting, and that's the way that I would advise that you read it. That's the way I read it, and like I said, it's just like a really good episode of a TV show that's like really suspenseful. So I think it's better to like read it all in one sitting. I'll definitely be reading more of Jeremy Ray's stuff in the future. I've actually heard a lot of really good things about it's not a horror story, but he wrote like a short story called The Houseplant. That's like, it's more like a contemporary fiction type of thing that I've heard was actually like really, really good and like really emotionally resonant, I guess. So I'll probably get around to reading that as well. That's also very short. I think it's only 30 pages or so. But for now, this one is a definite recommend. For horror fans, and I think even though it doesn't take place on Halloween or anything like that, I think like the focus on pranks and things like that, I think really makes it a good read, like particularly around like, you know, the Halloween season, like, or fall or something like that. It just gave me that kind of vibe. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it. It's on Kindle Unlimited. If you have that, you can read it for free, and like I said, it's only 90 odd pages, so it probably only take like an hour or two to read, and it's really, really good. I really do recommend it. So that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys again on the next one. Bye.